Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
With a reminder that you can also contact us via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And if you have not as yet subscribed to the Christian Research Journal, you can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. The feature story of the journal, the cover story, the word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization. And in the midst of the chaos that we are experiencing today, this article is absolute must reading. The cultural death of God and truth are arguably connected to the emerging death of words, of free speech, of freedom, and civilizational experiments in genuinely more perfect unions. You know, Oz Guinness once said that we live in an ABC context, an anything but Christian world. But we are now moving from an ABC moment in history to an AJC, an anti-Judeo-Christian moment. And as the article explains, this macro-morphing is coterminously emerging from and influencing virtually every theological, political, and cultural term and concept that has been utilized within and outside of faith communities. At any rate, the word crisis that threatens to undo Western civilization, the cover story of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal. You can subscribe on the web at equip.org. We will go to your calls later on in the broadcast. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. But I want to say something about Hinduism, because we get so many questions on Hinduism. Think about this. 94% of the world's Hindus live in India. India is home to 1.4 billion people. So when we talk about Hinduism in India, we're talking about 1/6 of the world's population. And by the way, by 2050, India's Muslim population may well exceed 300 million of people, making it the largest Muslim population in the world as well. And boy, do they have cows in India. And there's a reason for that. Cows are considered to be sacred, so sacred that a directive in the Constitution of India prohibits the very killing of cows. Currently, 21 of the 29 states in India have, believe it or not, have prison sentences for killing cows. Now, on the other hand, you have the Dalits, the untouchables. And these people, 250 million plus strong, are considered so unworthy by the upper caste echelon, that they are not even part of the caste system. In other words, they are quite literally outside the caste system, and therefore quite literally outcasts. and as such they are forbidden from physically touching any member of the caste system. Even more troubling, they can't so much as drink from the same wells, because as untouchables, they are considered unclean, and to touch the well of someone in the caste system would make that person unclean as well. Doing so would render caste members unclean, not just in a general sense, but by the Hindu scriptural standards that are so prevalent and pervasive in India. And what all of that means is that in the 21st century, there are quite literally millions of men, women, and children created in the image and likeness of God who are treated with far less dignity than the burgers we eat at fast food restaurants in other parts of the world. All of this leads to the questions that we receive at the Christian Research Institute about Hinduism. What do the Hindus actually believe? I hear some people, modern millennials, tell me that, well, Hinduism is a wonderful belief system, but is it really? Well, first I should say that Hinduism is multifaceted rather than monolithic. Its basic tenets with respect to God, humanity, and salvation are very, very different from that which we find in the Judeo-Christian ethic. I say that first and foremost because Hindus suppose that ultimate reality, what's called Brahman, ultimate reality is an impersonal oneness that transcends all distinctions. All of reality, they say, is a continuum or a simplified whole. Furthermore, Hindus hold that human beings made in the image and likeness of God from our perspective, but Hindus hold that these humans, in concert with the rest of the universe, are a continuous extension of Brahman, and thus are illusory individuated selves, are one with the impersonal cosmic consciousness of the universe. You've probably heard it stated, but maybe you're not familiar with what's going on behind the statement, Atman is Brahman and Brahman is Atman. One final point I'll make in this regard, namely, that the Hindu scriptures, the Vedas and the Upanishads, teach that the goal of humanity is liberation from an endless cycle of death and reincarnation. And this liberation is attained when we realize that our individual selves are just an illusion, that all is one. And until such enlightenment, so-called, is achieved, the law of karma dictates that our deeds in previous lives determine whether we are reborn as people or as monkeys, as mosquitoes, perhaps walruses, wasps. So while the Hindu scriptures tout the hell of reincarnation, rebirth in another form, the holy scriptures teach the hope of resurrection, and that makes all the difference in the world. The solution to the fear of karmic reincarnation is belief in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who died and rose again as the earnest that we too will rise, not in different bodies, but in bodies that are rearranged, no longer mortal, but now immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. We have a great message to share with Hindus. And I hope and pray that many of you will join me as we pray about the mission to India and the involvement of the Christian Research Institute in that very mission. And I also hope and pray that as we get closer and closer to the end of our fiscal year coming up June 30, that you will stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. We still have quite a ways to go to end the year, the fiscal year, in the black, and you can be part of the process of making that a reality by giving again in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Be back with answers.
K.P. Yohanan is the founder of Gospel for Asia and has spent his life leading a growing gospel movement in over a dozen Asian nations. His classic book, Revolution and World Missions, has impacted millions of people. Never Give Up is a continuation of K.P. Yohanan's journey, the story of a tragically broken man who drew closer to Christ and experienced what it means to never give up. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, the story of a broken man impacting a generation, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches during the financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
We've seen good times and hard times, but nothing quite like these times. The consequences of the coronavirus pandemic and massive urban unrest have been nothing short of shocking. In such times, people desperately need hope and courage. God brings certain books and people into our lives precisely when we need them. Never Give Up is one of those books, and K.P. Yohanan is one of those people. Through times of trial, we come to know what it truly means to know Christ. Simply put, Never Give Up, the story of a broken man impacting a generation, is the perfect book for this precise moment in history. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, the story of a broken man impacting a generation, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
Once again, here is Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Mark in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Mark.
Yes, sir. Hank, you believe, I believe as I do, that the first half of Daniel's 70th week was the three-and-a-half-year ministry of Christ, correct?
Not exactly, but what's the relevance?
Well, it's obviously completely related to the fact that in the middle of the week, like obviously the final week is 7 years, and in the middle of that week, the sacrifice and oblation cease. That was obviously the crucifixion of Christ, correct? After his 3.5 year ministry.
Yeah, you've got two things going on with respect to Daniel. You have something which takes place under Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, which is the Old Testament Antichrist. And of course, Jesus is looking back at what happened in that epoch of time to make his prediction with respect to what is going to happen with respect to the New Testament Antichrist and the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, which ultimately was fulfilled in the annals of history in AD 70.
But the thing is, the 70th week obviously is a 7 year period. You believe that, right?
Well, all of this requires a tremendous amount of contextualization. At best, the 70 weeks prophecy is very, very difficult to interpret. In fact, so difficult that no interpretation should be held with dogmatism. And I've pointed this out in a book that is titled The Apocalypse Code, Find Out What the Bible Really Says About the End Times and Why It Matters Today. But let me also add that the dispensational interpretation is the least plausible of the several competing interpretations that that Christ-honoring scholars have offered on the passage. And thus this passage cannot serve as a firm foundation for the dispensationalism that is popular and has sort of seeped into the thinking of people in the modern epoch.
Okay, very quickly, Hank, I just wanted to say that Paul, like when he spoke about the branches which had been on the olive tree, obviously, before the ministry of Christ, obviously faithful Jews, he was a faithful Jew. He was obviously one of the branches on the olive tree. But he was also a persecutor of the church initially. So he was actually one of the branches that was broken off before he was grafted back in on the road to Damascus, correct?
Well, again, that requires a certain amount of contextualization, which I'm happy to give you. The idea that God has two distinct people is an idea that I think is imposed on the biblical text as opposed to derived from the biblical text. Because ultimately, I think what we find in Scripture is one chosen people of God, not by virtue of their genealogical relationship to Abraham, but by virtue of a genuine relationship to the living stone rejected by men, but chosen by God. My point is that the true church is true Israel, and true Israel is truly the church. Just as the Old and the New Testaments reveal only one chosen people, I've often pointed out that they also reveal only one covenant community. And while that one covenant community is physically rooted in the offspring of Abraham, it is spiritually grounded in one singular seed. And that's why so often on this broadcast, I emphasize the words of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Galatians. Remember, he says, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. And then Paul goes on to say, the Scripture doesn't say, and to his seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person. And of course, that person is Christ. And then Paul goes on to explain, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, and then you are an heir according to the promise. Now, the promises are made to literal, physical Israelites, fulfilled by a literal, physical Israelite who is Jesus. He is the seed of Abraham. So, in answer to your question, the faithful remnant of the Old Testament Israel and New Testament Christianity are together the one genuine seed of Abraham and an heir according to the promise. And that remnant is not chosen on the basis of religion or race, but rather on the basis of relationship to the resurrected Redeemer. So if you're clothed with Christ, then you, no matter what age or gender or station in life, you form that one covenant community. So the one chosen people who form the one covenant community are illustrated by Paul as a cultivated olive tree. The tree symbolizes national Israel. Its branches symbolize those who believe, and its roots symbolize Jesus, who is, of course, the root and the offspring of David. So getting back to the breaking off of branches and the engrafting of other branches, natural branches broken off are representative of Jews who reject Jesus. So in that sense, I suppose you could attribute that to the Apostle Paul. Wild branches grafted in represent Gentiles who receive Jesus. And therefore, Paul can say, not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abram's offspring. So Jesus is the one genuine seed of Abram, and all who are clothed in Jesus constitute one congruent, chosen covenant community that is connected by the cross. And so in Christianity, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and an heir according to the promise. So there's no biblical warrant for this notion that's so prevalent in modern-day Christianity that God has two distinct people with two distinct plans necessitating two distinct phases of the second coming. And with that, there is no real basis or warrant for all of the readings that we now get in Old Testament passages that have sort of colored or flavored the drinking water of most people who are asking questions about eschatology in the modern epoch.
Thank you, sir.
You got it. My pleasure. And as I said, I've written about this in a book called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. One question, a follow-up. I ran out of time on another part of a broadcast, and I wanted to follow up. This was Thomas from Stuart, Virginia, and he was asking about the Old Testament and God giving his people many, many commands and saying that we shouldn't add to or subtract from these commands. And the Lord Jesus saying, do not think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. And if you love me, keep my commandments. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. So the question that Thomas is asking is, what commands are we supposed to obey? And in answer to that question, the reply is simply, we are to obey all enduring universal moral laws, which are summed up in two great commandments. They're summed up by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second like it is love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So through his atoning death on the cross, Jesus fulfilled all the temple's complex sacrificial system of laws. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. It can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away our sin. So therefore, as Paul put it, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. They're a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality is found in Jesus Christ, who gave us those two commandments, all summed up in the fact that if we love God, we will also love our neighbor as ourselves. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Got a special broadcast coming up tomorrow as I talk about the anniversary of my transplant 1 year ago. And I want to make a connection between that and the Eucharist that gives us life.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.